this morning in church, Eleanor talked about the fire of God. And she talked a little bit about the Old Testament. And I didn't know, but five times where God poured fire down on a sacrifice. Fire from heaven fell on a sacrifice. Did you know in the temple in Israel, the fire would come and that fire would never go out? Part of the fire in the temple was to never go out. Someone would keep it going for years. For years, that same fire. And it was important that the fire never went out. And today, we need the fire of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit fell on the Acts 2, fell on the early church. It's tongues of fire. It was a representation of the fire of God that needs to be burning within you and me. So this morning, we were just talking about the Holy Spirit coming and receiving. And so tonight, we're going to just sort of continue on from there. Tonight, I just want you to listen to the voice of God. I just really sense that God wants to speak to people with that still small voice in your heart. And over this night, He's going to come and He's going to say something to you. He might say it through someone, but He also may say it to you and then repeat it through someone. But God wants to speak to your heart. There's some people, even as I've said that, you've said, oh, well, God never speaks to me. God wants to speak to you tonight. When we open up our heart, we begin to say, I believe that God can speak to me tonight. Then His voice begins to come. So even while maybe something else is going on down the front here, keep saying, God, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. Maybe a scripture, maybe just a word. But I do sense God wants to speak. Over the last few days, I keep getting a picture of someone who feels like they're stuck in a coffin. They feel like they're stuck in their life and there just seems to be no way out. There seems to be no way out. Maybe it's a situation they're facing. Maybe there's a problem, but they just feel like they just don't feel like they can get out of it. And it even feels repetitive. It feels like, man, I'm doing the same thing. Even maybe life feeling like Groundhog Day, that it's the same day every single day. Every day I wake up, it's the same thing, and they feel trapped by it. And I just felt there's some people, and I just really feel to pray for you if you go, that's me. I just, or maybe a situation, maybe something you're going, I can't see a way out of this. There just doesn't seem to be any answers. I can't go back, and I can't go forward, and I can't go to this side. But you just feel trapped. Maybe the sense of being trapped is the main factor within it. And so if that's you, why don't you just come and stand out here? I just feel to pray for you. The picture I got was of Moses standing with the Egyptian army coming right at them. You know, they've just come out of Israel and they're standing there. They're in front of the Red Sea, but they feel trapped. They don't feel like there's any way out. Behind them, there's an army that wants to kill them. And in front of them, there's an ocean that they can't get through. And suddenly God supernaturally provides a way that wasn't there before. And I just sense that God's going to provide a way for you guys that wasn't there before. You know, all the people, 3 million people in Israel, none of them would have been able to have said, oh, I know what's going to happen. The sea's going to open up and we're all going to walk through. That wouldn't have even been an option. It wouldn't even been a consideration. And I believe God's going to give you an answer that is miraculous. And Father, we pray right now for miraculous answer, a miraculous way of escaping. Father, they would step through into what you had for them. Lord, I pray that you would change situations. You'd open up. You'd create an avenue that isn't there right now, but would create it, Father. You'd create an answer, Father, if it's a situation or a problem, that the answer would come even tomorrow morning as they wake up. They go, I know what to do. This is it. I need to do this. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. I do feel that there's others, and that applied to you as well. And
and believe God for a miraculous answer to your issues, to your problem, to whatever it is you're facing. You may be seated, and I'm going to ask Josh to come and just share what he has on his heart.
Awesome. Yeah, it was an awesome conference, and Pastor Phil talked about the valley of dry bones, and I'm going to use that scripture tonight, but I'm going to put my own kind of spin on it. But so the context of this, so we have, this is after Solomon had built the temple. This is when Israel and Judah had kind of separated into their own separate nation, and this is when the Assyrians had overtaken Israel, and they were in captivity, and this is when Judah has just begun being overtaken by the Babylonians, and there was no hope. There was no hope in Israel or Judah. There was no hope. God had promised them so much, but there was no hope. There was no hope at all, and they felt like they were dead. Ezekiel 37 says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" It carries on and it says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." And then it says this, "I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. Come on, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live." Without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. Once we've received Jesus into our lives, we actually receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he seems far away, sometimes he seems like he's not there, but we actually have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we are called to go out across the nation of Tauranga, this nation of New Zealand, the city of Tauranga, and, you know, spread the gospel, empowered by the Spirit. You know, we're called to see healings, miracles, people come into church, just saved, salvations every week, even during the week, just all the time. But we need a bunch of people who are spirit empowered. Why don't you guys stand up? Maybe you feel dead, like the dry bones. Maybe you feel like you're in a valley that the dry bones were in. Maybe like the Israelites, you had no hope. But there's something inside of you that wants to do something. There's something inside of you that aches when you see the homeless people as you walk down the street. We were in Wellington and the amount of homeless people, it was ridiculous. Come on, we're called to help the needy, to help the sick, to pray for people and see them healed, to talk about Jesus wherever we go. So if that's you, if you want to just live by the Spirit and just be someone who is constantly in communication with the Spirit, constantly, you know, seeking God, constantly seeing miraculous things happen in your life, why don't you come up the front? Come up the front and we're going to pray for you.
Josh spoke about speaking to things in our lives, and one of the things that I'm convinced of is that we don't speak enough
to ourselves. We don't even prophesy over ourselves. The command that came to Ezekiel was prophesy to this situation, prophesy to this thing. And your words, as you prophesy what I've called you to prophesy, will cause life to flow. And I feel for all of us, we've got to prophesy a little bit more. You've got to speak into it. The only thing that holds it back is our belief. If we stand there going, oh, well, I don't think that works, and it's not going to work for me, and I don't really believe that. Well, of course it's not going to work. But if you get something empowered by God in you, you're going, man, I really believe that. And you've got a situation in your life. And so right now, if you've got any situation in your life, why don't you just close your eyes, look at that situation, and why don't you just speak to it? Why don't you speak to it? God, I pray on this situation here. Maybe you've got a financial need. Why don't you go, right, God, I pray, right, I speak to this financial need that I would have more than enough, Lord, to be able to meet this need so that I can do all that you've called me to do, Father. Lord, I pray, whatever that situation is, maybe you've got a child that's away from God, or maybe your parents don't know God. Why don't you right now say, God, I just speak to that situation. I prophesy that they would come to life, that they would come to know you. You begin to speak it out. If you don't speak it out, it won't happen. But as you begin to speak it out and begin to declare it, it will begin to happen. You'll start putting the spiritual forces into play. Maybe it's something personal, maybe it's something for somebody else. But if you don't pray, if you don't speak it, it won't happen. It won't begin to be activated. It won't begin to start. So prophesy. Begin to prophesy. Prophesy. If you're prophesying over yourself, put your hands on yourself and say, right, God, I just prophesy over myself that I'd have more of you, God. God, you might even have a situation. You might have something that's bothering you. You might be sick. Go, Lord, I right now prophesy health over my body, that health, that your life and your health would flow into my body. Over your mind, maybe you got something happening in your mind and you feel confused and you feel things are not going right, or maybe you feel a heaviness. In fact, I feel there's people, you feel a heaviness, and it's a spiritual thing. And now prophesy. Say, God, I command this to go, that this spirit that's against me, this darkness, would go in the name of Jesus. You speak it out. You speak it out. You begin to speak it out. If you don't speak it out, it won't happen. God's waiting for you to prophesy, prophesy, prophesy to the situation. If you prophesied something, God, you know, some things God gives you keys. Maybe you got to speak to it three times. Maybe you got to speak to it seven times. You know, when Naaman wanted to get healed, he was told to go into the river and dip seven times. He thought, what a waste of time. God gets us to do stuff, but sometimes we just go, oh, it's not going to work, it's silly. But Naaman was healed of his leprosy when he was obedient to what God was speaking to him. Fantastic. Rachel's going to come.
There's a real theme of prophecy here tonight, and I just want to share a bit what I've been thinking about this afternoon. And it sort of follows on from what we were doing at Coast this morning. We had a really great morning and the Holy Spirit really came. I thought back to my time when I was on the Gold Coast. I got this glimpse. I got this snapshot. I got this picture. It was like a vision of what I was going to be doing in the future. And it was something big and something in big places. And it was something that was scary. And it was something that was, you know, something that I couldn't never do in the natural. And so it was something that, you know, you just wanted to shake off because it was just too much for me. And I saw myself when I was in the Gold Coast. This was after, if you were here, heard my testimony the other week. And it was preaching on this stage, sharing my testimony about my twins. And that was the snapshot I had of my future. And so as I saw that, you know, I kept it safe in my heart. I didn't want to, you know, go around telling everybody, hey, I'm going to be preaching at City Church. I'm staying on the stage. But I didn't want to doubt it either, because it's a scary thing, you know. Here, I'll give you the mic. You can come up here and do this. But I thought, you know, I need to prepare myself. So what I did is I wrote it out. I wrote down my testimony. I visioned myself standing here speaking with confidence, with boldness, with the Holy Spirit giving me the capacity and the ability to be able to do this. And I just felt like God said to me, that's what you're going to be doing. So I prepared my heart, and I knew that that would happen at some point. And I feel like so often God gives us a picture. He gives us a snapshot of our future. And what we do is we just shake it off and we're like, oh, no, that's too big for me. That's something that is out of my way, out of my league. That's something that that is impossible, it's too big. And God gives us a vision, He gives us a prophecy, He speaks to our hearts and to our minds of what He wants us to do in our future. And instead of shaking off the lies of the enemy, which is coming at our mind, we shake off the vision and the prophecy and the thing that God's put in on our heart. So I feel like tonight, it's a step of faith for me. I feel like God gave me a snapshot when I was at conference this last week of me standing here prophesying over a couple of people specifically. And that's something that I have to step out in faith and do now, because I've got the opportunity, I've got the platform, I've got the time and the place, so I've got to be obedient and I've got to step out and do that. And so, I just had a couple of words for a couple of people that I was praying about today. And I don't even know names, but the young fella there by Steph, I just had a word for you. I just had this word that you're an atmosphere changer. And whenever you walk into a room, the atmosphere changes. And it's not something that's a big, here I am, look at me. It was something that you had the opportunity to step into the room and you would gauge it. You'd look around you and you'd sense what was going on. You had a real prophetic spirit within yourself where you could gauge what the atmosphere was happening around about you. And then as you stepped into that room, by faith, you took hold of that atmosphere and you bound it and you put it into a box and you made it do what you told it to do, because you stepped into that room and you had the authority to make it happen. So yeah, I just wanted to encourage you with that tonight. The other person, sorry, I can't remember your name down the back row there. You went to Cleansing Stream with me. I just saw you're a new Christian in your faith, and we've talked about that a little bit. And it's like God's put you into this box, this season where He's really protecting you and protecting your heart, protecting your mind. And you'd be surprised at the arrows that the enemy has been firing against you that have actually just been bouncing off. You don't know that they've actually been coming at you, because He's been protecting you and keeping you safe, because He loves you in that period of time and He wants you to grow in your faith. But during that time when you're in that that box, that special time, that season of protection, God really wants you to learn the skills of war, to learn the art of war, to learn how to use your sword, to prepare for battle, because there will be a time where that protection per se isn't going to be there. Like, God's always going to protect you and always going to love you, but it's like there'll be a time where there will be arrows coming at you, but you're going to be prepared because you've spent time in preparation, you've learned the word, you've got the sword of the spirit, you've learned how to put on the breastplate, and you've got the shoes, and you've got all those things to research and look up. And I just feel like God wants you to just prepare yourself during this season, because you are going to be a warrior princess and you're going to fight the war and you're going to win, because you're not going to be taken out, because you're going to be ready. Awesome. So I think just what I want to do now, I feel like there's a few people here who've been given snapshots in your mind, little visions that you've shaken off, that you probably should have grasped a hold of. So I'd like, if there's anybody out there who wants to, we're going to sing another song, if you want to stand. And we're going to pray for those people who have shaken off those visions instead of shaking off the lies of the enemy. We just want to pray for your mind so that we protect that and that you can run forth with everything God has for you.
Amen. I think we have the choice tonight to be spectators or to just be watching, or to be thinking, man, God can change people's futures and direction and everything that happens in their lives by what happens here tonight. And so I want to challenge you, if they talk about something and that's not about you, you can still get involved. Let's say, God, you can work here and you can change things. So why don't you take your seats for a minute, and can I just quickly, a little bit of a disclaimer, sort of, when anyone gives you a word, it'll always be confirming something for you. If I come to Pastor James and say, Pastor James, I really believe God wants to send you to China, and he's never even thought about China, the worst thing he could do was go to China. But if in his heart, every time he lands up on Google, something comes out about Google, about China, or every time he reads something, he has a desire, and God's confirming something in his heart, and that word does that. And so what I want to share with you tonight is something that I really believe God has spoken to me over the last, probably just more than a week, and just confirmed this weekend by several different things. But I really believe there's a few people here that God's speaking to as well. And in actual fact, at the door this morning, greeting someone as he left, he told me something. And I said, "Mate, are you coming tonight?" And I don't think he's here. He said, "Oh, probably not." And I said, "Well, I'm going to just share with you right now." So it was good. So when Pastor Alan texted me and said, "Hey, will you be able to share coming Sunday?" I knew right away what it was. But it was just amazing how it all got confirmed. And so in a way, it's for people who've got a bit of a decision to make. And it might not be something big. Might not be massive. I've got a bit of a decision in my life, and it's just a choice you need to make, and it's nothing massive. I'm happily married. I'm happily planted in this church. Everything's fantastic, but there's this choice, and it's really been, come on, God, what is the answer? Which way do I go? Do I do this or do I do that? And I've really been struggling along that sort of way, and I actually met with someone early in the week or last week, and we were just talking. I said, you know, I feel almost, is this an opportunity or is it a distraction? And it's just, you know, it's one of those sort of things that I could probably go either way and it'll all still sort of work out. And while searching God on this and really just looking, these things started happening and started being confirmed. And so out of the blue, the one pastor at conference was speaking and he just used the word, it's a distraction. And he wasn't really even talking about that, but it just struck me in my heart. And I'm sure if you ask several people who listen, they probably wouldn't even have heard the word. But it was like God said, that's just a distraction. And then I moved on and there were some other things. And a pastor started speaking about, you know, if you've got an anchor that's holding you down, you need to pull it up so you can move to your place. And it didn't, you know, I don't want to say it sort of went against me, but straight off I thought, no, God to me is saying, keep the anchor down and just stay where you are and stay planted. Last week, Damien got on the stage here, Pastor Damien from Canada, and he shared about being present. He said, you've got to be present. And I just felt like God was saying through him, through this other guy and the next one, that don't move now. It's going to work, but this is not the time. And you need to be planted. And then Pastor Robert, and I won't do any Nigerian accents because I'm not as good as Pastor Eleanor. But he spoke about a seed in the ground that he planted. I think it was a peach tree. And he was pretty disappointed the next morning when he went out and there wasn't a peach or there was no tree. And you know what? It was like God was saying to me again, you see, you've got to stay there for a while before you can develop fruit. And I believe that there might be some people here who are saying, you know what, I see no fruit in my life. And it's because you've got to be planted just a little bit longer. If you're not seeing fruit, maybe you're just not planted long enough for that tree to grow and there to be a little bit of fruit. And then on the radio, I heard I'm sort of reading through Acts at the moment, and I heard this verse. It was like the verse of the day or something, and I thought, man, I missed where it was. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to Google it. And when I got home, I Googled it, and it was probably about 3 days earlier in Acts that I just read. I thought, God, man, you know, I missed that. But so what it says, Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, it says, from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And this was the part. He said, and he marked out their appointed times in history. And I just felt for me and for, there's a few people here today, this is your appointed time in history where you are now. You don't need to go anywhere else. This is it. This is your time. This is your place. You're where God wants you. You need to remain planted. And then it goes on to say, and he set their boundaries in their lands, the boundaries of their lands. But then verse 27, God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. And I just thought, you know, there's some of us here today, you may be saying, man, God just feels a little bit far. And it's like I'm reaching, but I can't get him. And God's saying, just put your anchor down, stay where you are, be present, stay in the ground a bit longer, and you'll see fruit, and you'll see some change starting to happen in your life. So why don't you just stand quickly? And I just thought, you know, I'm not expecting a lot of people to come forward, but at the same time, I believe God is speaking to some people here, that you've just got something, just a small little fork in the road. Which way do I go? What do I do? And God is saying, you just be planted right now. There was a guy this morning at the door, and he said, you know, their company's closing in a few months' time, and they've got the option to leave now or stay. And he said, I just feel in my heart I want to stay. I said, man, I've got a word for you. This is what God is saying. You stay. Put the anchor down and you stay. You know, if Joseph never stayed in the pit when they put him there, his future would have been very different, and so would have Israel. If you feel you're in a bit of a pit, and I'm not talking about what Pastor Alan was shared earlier about being stuck. If you're stuck, God wants to get you out and get you free. But if you're in something, you think, man, I just don't understand this. Should I go that way or this way? Just stay where you are, because God has got something. And you'd have felt that in your heart already. This is just confirming that for you. And so we're going to worship, and you might be sitting back there and say, well, that's not me. But you can just say, God, keep me planted. keep me there long enough that I can produce fruit. But that if it is you, I want to challenge you to come forward. You see, you say, why do I need to come forward? Because it's a step of faith. Saying, God, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm believing this is for me tonight, and I'm going to stay where I am. I'm going to put the anchor down. I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to leave that seed in the ground so I can see fruit. Amen? Let's worship. And you come quickly and just believe that a step of faith, God's going to cement that in your heart and in your life.
Man, the presence of God's really strong down here at the front. Woohoo! Exciting. How good is God? I'm going to ask you all to move in just a moment, but before you do, I just felt a couple of things I wanted to share. Really similar to a lot of the stuff that's been shared already, which is great. 1 Kings 19, verse 9 to 18, I'm not going to read it, but it talks about Elijah being really discouraged, really deeply discouraged. And he was almost like having a freak out time. He'd had these great victories in God and seen the prophets of Baal slain and a great national victory for God, and everything turned around. And then he just heard one intimidating thing from somewhere, and his whole world came caving in, and he became deeply discouraged, and he went on the run, and he left all the things God had called him to do, and he was way out in the desert. And then what he was actually afraid of was not even real. It was huge in his mind. It had blown up way out of proportion. But what he needed to do was he needed to hear God's voice. And when he did finally hear God's voice wasn't loud in the wind or in the earthquake or in the fire. God's voice was a small whisper, but it brought complete clarity to the situation. And then when he heard God whispering to him, he went out and stood in the presence of God and opened his ear up. He met with God. And then God spoke into his spirit, guidance, direction, and the next thing, and he was able to go forward. And this is what happens when we hear God's voice. It gives us a new direction. We're able to go forward in Jesus' name. And we need to hear God's voice. It is life to us. We've got to know God's voice. More than anything, more than anyone, we need to hear God's voice. And Jesus, when there was a storm raging, it just took one word. It was actually two words, be still. And everything changed. The wind and the waves were still. He spoke to the wind and waves. He said, be still. And immediately it became calm. It went from the tempest to the calmest sea there was, because God spoke. And we need to hear God's voice. And I felt like there are people here tonight who are in that wilderness place, that discouraged place, and you really need to hear the voice of the Lord. And what I want us to do is we sing that again, because that was so awesome, that fire, that song that you just did there in that bridge. I would love everybody to come forward and either be prophesied over or be in prophesying over someone. So just right now, have a think about whether you would like to be prophesied over or whether you would like to prophesy over someone. Because I believe there are a lot of people here who need to have the word of the Lord prophesied over them tonight, and it's going to bring encouragement. Now, it may not be that directional one. It may just be an encouragement and the voice of life from the Lord. But there are people here, and you can prophesy. You've done it before. You need to stir up the gift of God that is on you. This is one of the easiest gifts of the Holy Ghost to operate in. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, you can prophesy. Hands up who's ever prophesied over someone before. Put your hand up and wave at me like this. Yeah, that's good. That's over half of you. So now I'd like us to stand to our feet. And if you would like a word from God, I'd like you to come and stand out the front now in a line. If you'd like to be prophesied over, you come first. You come now over, out here. That's it. That's a good place to be, under the spout where the glory comes out. Now, those of us who are not out the front wanting a word from God, I want you to ask the Lord now for something for someone up the front. You might be looking with your eyes open, Lord, who? And often God will just give you a desire to go up to a certain person, and you don't even know why you're drawn to that person. But you are drawn to that person. Maybe we could make one line because that's kind of a bit of a mess. Can you make a line? Janita, you organise them into a line. There you go. You're a teacher. So all of us who are not out the front, Lord, I pray you'd speak right now. Speak to us about who to speak to. In Jesus' name, amen. So once you feel like you have, once you feel like you have someone God's showing you, you come. Preferably males or males, females or females. Come out and start to speak over someone. You might prophesy over two or three people. You get on a roll, the spirit of prophecy starts moving. And Lord, I pray for all these people standing up here right now, that you would give them ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. That you would implant that word into their hearts and encourage them right now in Jesus' name. Let's worship. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
The whole purpose of the Holy Ghost is for us to engage with Him. And I love these nights because we kind of set a platform, but you know, it's not about coming forward in a moment. It's about all of us drawing our faith together, right? So if you haven't come up, you know, if you haven't kind of been involved here, can I encourage you, you know, be involved where you are. Be involved where you are. Stir up the gift. The Bible says stir up your gift. Anyway, that was a free one. It wasn't. Everything's free. Bruce, can you put up that? Just going to go on a slight different tact here, and I know we're getting pushed for time, so I'm going to hurry up. That looks pretty good, right? So I was sitting at home earlier this week, and I was feeling a bit hungry for something a bit naughty, a bit chocolatey, and I didn't want to just go down the normal route, so I started, you know, Googling recipes. I can't cook at all. I'm useless in the kitchen. I thought, man, that looks really nice. Read the ingredients, pretty healthy. I'm going to give that a crack. Rachel's laughing because she knows the last time I went into the kitchen was about 1987. But anyway, I thought, you know, I'm going to give this a go. And I thought, it can't be that hard. There's like three ingredients, four ingredients, and it'll look like that. So I put it all together, and it didn't quite turn out how I thought it would. And if Bruce would be so kind as to show you. Now, I had to add the nuts on there because otherwise it just looked really bad. Even though it looks bad. Now, there is a point to this. Stick with me. I really feel like the Holy Spirit was having a conversation with me this afternoon about myself and about others in this room. Specifically here tonight. We've got to learn to take it easy on ourselves. We have this image in our mind what a Christian should look like. We read our word and we see what the, you know, what we're supposed to live like. And for a lot of us, we can't understand how to get there. Even though it's not about what we do, we feel this pressure to always look good. Like photo number one. If you do this, this and this in this order, you use these ingredients, you're going to look like that. The gospel's messy. The gospel looks a lot more like number two. I shouldn't say number twos. Like number twos. It's not supposed to be clean and tidy. It's not supposed to make us feel like we can never reach it. We can never make it. Like whatever we do is never going to turn out how it's supposed to. It's not about what we do. And I want to encourage you tonight. And I want us all to respond. You know, if you want to come and we'll pray with you. But just ponder that in the next few days. Am I putting too much pressure on myself? Am I trying to be something that I'm not supposed to be? And I'm not saying as a Christian, we're supposed to be Christians, but we're not supposed to look like somebody else. My walk's different than your walk, right? We're all at different places. And that's the beauty of church. That's the beauty of tonight. You know, we can come down. Man, I could have been up here the whole night. And I probably should have been. All of those things are like, yeah, man. But it's about us joining together. This, you know, it sounds cliche and we say it, but
There is no spectators in church. We all got gifts. We're all called here. We're all called to do what we can. And be who you are. Yes. Do what you can to get better. Like cut some of the bad ingredients out. Just get the ones you need. But let him put it all together. Don't try and strive, because you're going to live this life where you feel like, man, it's not looking like that. And you just can't live like that. You're just going to live in the disappointment. Yeah? So, just leave you with that. Should we sing a song or something? I don't know. Keep that in mind. Relax. It's okay. All right?
We're going to finish in a moment, but every service we want to give people an opportunity who don't know Jesus. And if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, if you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't know what your eternity looks like, if you don't know that if you die you'd go to heaven, we want to give everybody an opportunity to have a relationship with God. And so everyone just closes their eyes and everyone takes a moment just to think about where they are with God. And we want to give you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never asked him to come into your life, never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, if you've not confessed your sins and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my life, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus and you want to tonight, while everyone's got their eyes closed and just me looking around, why don't you put your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. I'd like to give my life to Jesus tonight. I'd like to ask him to come into my life. If you feel like you're far away from God, maybe you've known God before, but you've slipped away. You're not walking with him, and you need to be walking with him, and you want to just put that right. Just while everyone's got their eyes closed, why don't you just put your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. We're going to pray a prayer, and I'll include you in that prayer. I'll get you to pray that prayer if that's you. Just looking around very quickly. 5 more seconds, if that's you, just put your hand up and say, yeah, that's me. I need to get right with God. Okay. If you have any questions, if you want to know something more, come and see one of the people that have been on the platform, or one of the leaders, or I'll be over by the door. Come and see us. We'd love to talk to you more about Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for each person here. Lord, I thank you for what you put in our heart and in our spirit. And Lord, I pray over this week, Father, Lord, you keep reminding of us of those things. And Lord, the keys that we've been given, keys that have been put into our hands, we would begin to use them and walk in them, Father. Holy Spirit, that we would be closer to you. Lord, that we would see people around us experience you, that we would take those steps of faith to talk about you, to share about you, to be a light in the darkness, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.